The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock Live on YouTube. Don't forget, hit that like, subscribe button and add to the comments. I'm joined by Johnny Boy. You're a fella.
Good morning. Afternoon, even.
Yeah, afternoon now. Spot on afternoon. And the market's having a little bit of a rally, and that's there's rumours that the Chinese may step in with some stimulus, because, of course, they need to do that because they're in big trouble. And there's trillions of dollars of, I don't know what they're doing, but they're looking. And that's why, in fact, if we go straight away to the biggest, the FTSE 100, the rise of the fallers here, Ocado! They're the biggest rider. There we are. They benefit from China somehow. But Anglo-American, Athabasca, it's, a couple of miners are up there. And there's another chart on Ocado. In fact, even
there were some days. There were some days on grocery price inflation today.
Yes, I've got that. We'll cover that in a bit. Yes, good. It's slow. The inflation is slow. It's not price is not going down, but they're not rising as fast as they were. By the way, look at that. Even the AIM All share, if you scroll in, it's up a smidge today. But the thing is, up 1%, over 1%. But that is literally 11 out of 15 trading days, down 11. Down 11 out of 15, and so a little bit of a bounce. But if we go to the market,
crack out the champagne.
Yeah, let's crack it out there. But the FTSE is doing well, up 1.55%, 1.73 for 250, and just over 1% for the AIM All share. And there is a question here from P6 Jedi. Is today the start of the rally? The rally? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we're. So I do honestly think 2024 is the year of the rally. Maybe after Q2, Q3, I think it'd be a start of a bull market. And that's why I say, for now, you know, conserve a bit of capital, maybe strap in, you know, do your research, and then, you know, fundamental research, then wait for the market, wait for the tide to come in, get your surfboard ready.
But then it kind of goes back to what we were saying the other day, you know, that because there has been, you know, such poor sentiment towards the market as a whole, you're seeing some very sort of good companies caught up in the selling. And we've got one example of that today, which we spoke of, I can't remember now, end of last week. YouGov had some numbers out and boom. You know, there you go. Good company caught up in the selling, delivered some good numbers because there was nothing really ever fundamentally wrong with it. And off you go. Yeah. So you run the risk of missing that stuff by sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, YouGov. If you look at that, it's quite interesting. Just on the chart, this is why I think, you know, momentum is very. I keep saying this. It's basically price action. It's, you know, where the money flow is going. But if you look at that level there, exactly where it's rallied to today, that's 820 pretty much. And you see it's dipped down there, just put the head below, bounced back off it there, then really dropped off a cliff, and now it's rallied to it. So that line there is now previous support. It's now resistance. Will it get above that? Well, if they keep producing good figures, you'd assume they would. But like I said, it is one of the rises on the page today. Full year results. Let's look at the results quickly.
Good.
Yeah. So change 70%, underlying change. Underlying. The word lying is in underlying. Underlying EBITDA. underlying profit before tax.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually fairly transparent.
You know, it's fine. It's fine. Adjusted, I don't mind so much. It's adjusted. When they
adjusted can be, well, adjusted underlying say the same thing, but sometimes you have to yeah, adjust. And a top line, you know, an underlying sort of can strip out sort of acquisitive growth that's been bought in. So I think it's a fair enough reporting measure.
I know, but when you adjust things and for one-offs, but you tend to think, if you look at any financial report, there's always one-offs. There's always one-offs every single year. So, you know, you think, what are they adjusting for? Sometimes companies are, you know, they'd be loss-making, but they're adjusting, and all of a sudden they adjust to the point where they're making a profit. You think, well, are you making a profit or are you adjusting to making a profit? What are you doing? Anyway, top-line growth is good. And I do say here, right, I don't know if you saw the IMF report, which is, what's the point of the IMF? Scroll on here, right? I say look for growth in companies, especially in a low-growth environment, because the IMF say we're going to be the slowest-growing economy, the UK, in the G7, and the highest inflation. But they put this out before the MPC, the Bank of England, paused interest rates, and they've also revised up previous guidance. So there was a, we're not that far out. Normally, we're about 1.5 percentage points out what actually occurs. In July last year, it forecast the UK economy would grow by 3.2% in 2022. It revised it upwards to 4.1% at the start of this year, but official figures show it was actually 4.3%. So if you go from like literally 3.2% to 4.3%, the one whole percent, that's a lot.
Yeah,
that one for the economy.
Forecast within 1.5 percentage point of what actually happens. Yeah, that's huge, especially when you're, you know, sort of teetering on the brink of recession.
Yeah,
precisely. That is a nonsense.
But anyway, what I'm saying is, I do think, I'm not talking about just growth for growth's sake, but I mean growth in certain areas. I think if you are in a slow growth environment, there are certain sectors that won't be affected. There are certain sectors that will be massively affected. But if you look for the companies that are sort of almost insulated from that, they've got something special about them. You know, they've got offering maybe technology that's different, maybe a drug that's different. That's what to look for. You know, what are they? Is there a big, it's the same with any business, isn't it? What problem are they addressing? Are they doing it in a different, more efficient, effective way?
Yeah.
And that's what I look of, I think, when you look for growth. I mean, not just looking for companies that are same as everything else, but okay, but growth, good growth. That's what I'm looking for.
A very wise investment analyst, you know, once said that, you know, you should always be on the lookout, and you've just alluded to it, to problem-solving businesses.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to make sure that they're solving a problem that translates into sales. You know, there's all sorts of problems out there that don't really need solving. But there are lots that do, lots of things that businesses really need, you know, a lot of help with. So yeah, solving problems, that translating into revenue, you know, and profit, more importantly. With some kind of, you know, barrier to entry would be the other thing I would look for.
Yeah, and especially when you get a change in the environment in some way. Like, for example, I always give the example of, you know, going towards a cleaner sort of environment, renewables. Is there companies out there with tech that can, you know, address this better than other companies? This is a seismic shift, and this shift is going to change for the next 10, 20 years. So they are, it's almost like, you know, you are sort of surfing with the tide, not against the current or kind of thing.
I think on the environmental thing, I can't remember where I saw it now, but there was there's some commentary that, you know, investment in renewable investments has gone off the boil. So you know, at the moment you are surfing against the tide with something that should be, you know, a sort of a secular trend. It's rather odd that at the moment.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think part of that was because of, you know, the capital required. And in fact, Phil says here, what business models do you avoid? Could be a good topic for future video. The reason I mention this is Camellia PLC has diverse agriculture business, years in the business, and can't make a profit. Mm. Yeah, I like to look at companies, you know, that are capital, not capital intensive, you know, a capital light, pretty much. So that lends itself to tech, maybe software a bit. And once they've got initial investment into the technology they're providing, then the margins can be good. That's always worth looking at margins, you know, gross margins and also operating margins. If they're high, that's an efficient business can scale, you know. So, and like I said, when you get companies that, you know, have to invest in big bits of kit, technology or bits of factory or machinery, especially in this environment, if they're not turning a profit and they have to raise money to build more kit, you know, or to build more machinery, it's hard. It's hard going, really is. And it suits companies, you know, in like I said, a couple of years back when interest rates were rock bottom and raising money was easy. But now, you know, efficient companies are always going to be good, aren't they? I mean, any environment, essentially.
Mate, you're right. I like, you know, capital light companies, definitely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you generally, as you say, see high margins, high returns on capital. Yeah. You know, they tend to be software based. Mm. You know, as long as that software has developed in a sensible manner. You know, businesses that don't really need, you know, they have operational leverage. So, you know, once you have a sort of cost base and an asset base in place, then every, you know, incremental sale is essentially dropping through to the bottom line. So, yeah operational leverage.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of software companies like that can pretty much, you know, once you've put the initial development costs into it and you've got the product up and running, it's essentially copy and paste pretty much, isn't it? Any other, you know, customer comes along, you can, okay, you may need some certain tweaks, but, you know, in fact,
well, this is why software as a service models, you know, so attractive.
Yeah. Exactly. You've got the software and service, you've got recurring revenue, plus you've got the efficiency of having a software business. So that's why, you know, those kind of companies have been given, you know, afforded a higher multiple, higher valuation because it's more transparent visibility of the earnings.
But I think what you have to watch out for those companies, though, and maybe not so much at the moment, given we've, you know, gone through a sell off and everything is adjusted to the new interest rate environment, is that they do have a tendency to get very expensive. You know, they fall in the quality bracket, and quality has had a tendency to get very expensive. So you can buy in at the wrong time.
Yeah. Phil says, I'd personally put car manufacturers in that pile. Too competitive.
Yep.
No one knows who. Yeah. I mean,
100%.
If you're doing something like, a new sort of cutting edge car like Tesla did, you know, EVs, they dominate first mover advantage in that market. And now that will all, I don't know, if, you know, people have been saying that's overvalued forever, but I think it'll stay overvalued because it's a market leader. Maybe in 10, 20 years, maybe not. But I mean, they were first mover advantage in that space, weren't they? Oh, well, sir. Old dog, Destiny Farmer, do you think they'll partner up or be bought out? I'd appreciate your opinion on this. I've no idea. But nice to see, by the way, one of the most read today, the new CEO, Chris Tobey, bought a few shares today. Let's look at it. One of the most read there. He did 40,000 shares, about 50 pence, so around 19, 20 grand. So it's nice to get the CEO come in and buy some shares. There we are. Let's have a look at some of the most read today. In fact, worth looking at today, one of the most followed today, and the chart is looking good. And it's almost like Avacta almost have their own marketing department in their shareholders. Because they're constantly, pumping out good information, well-researched information on Twitter. But the chart is looking very interesting today, and I'll show you why. So it's this green band I put here. You know, traditionally a bit of congestion here, support resistance on the chart. And now you can see it's at the upper end of that sort of, you know, previous support resistance or previous resistance. And this nice sort of rally, slowly a series of higher lows, higher highs. So if it can break through this, I think it's quite bullish. I do, because like I said, you know, it's literally, that is resistance there. They've had some peak outs and gap ups there and it's come back down. But that level, you can see, one, you know, two, three, four, five, and even going back to here, really back to sort of 2020, it's been an area of congestion. So if they can break above that, that would be quite good. There's no news out today on the factor, is there?
No.
It's hard to say.
Let me see. There is, because they're presenting at a conference, aren't they? On, no, it hasn't happened yet. It happens tomorrow. And then a few days after that. So, you know, I wondered if anything come out of the conference they're presenting at with some of their secondary drug targets, but no, not yet. Next few days.
Yeah. One of the most read, of course, is this. It was a dream investment if you go in the right time, but it's turned into a nightmare. And that's Bushveld, which, of course, there's vanadium and. And vanadium prices apparently quite low, which I assume is quite good for low vanadium prices would be good for Invinity energy systems because they put those into them. So buying it quite low would be quite good. But like I said, if you look at the drop here, you know, since it's high, it's down 93% in 700 days. But yet, look at that, look at the rise there. It went up by sort of several thousand.
What day is that? Do you know what? I'm looking at the vanadium pentoxide flake 98% chart at the moment.
Funnily
enough,
it's not a chart.
Funnily enough, it looks just like that.
Oh, does it?
It really does. Big spike towards the end of 2018.
Okay.
Big fall as the price came down. And then sort of hovering along from there.
Oh, yeah. But they basically said, market speculated regarding Mr. Cameron Satter. They were going to request a general meeting, a requisition. And now he's pleased to report that they've discussed things and he decided not to. So it's not really good news. It's a relief. So it did sort of rally a little bit and come back down. But I do think, you know, they've got a bit of debt there. And I think I was talking to John Mayer from SP Angel. They've downgraded their outlook for them because of, you know, the lithium price. And like I said, if you're in commodity plays, you've got to make sure it is boom bust, isn't it, for commodities. That's the trouble, you know.
The thing is that... They're a processor and producer, if I'm right in thinking. They've actually managed to deliver a fair old chunk of sales.
Yeah.
A fair old chunk of turnover. There was a point, 2018, when prices were high, 2018-19, that they delivered some fairly substantial profit at a pre-tax level, but not since then. This is something that I've always talked about when it comes to mining, is that, you know, you are... at the mercy of the price of the underlying commodity.
Well, exactly, the commodity, yes. It is.
And that's what's happened here.
Yeah, and they're doubly hurt because they've taken on a lot of debt when vanadium was high, and then vanadium prices have dropped, and they've got to cover that debt pretty much. And so it's hard work. Here's a bit of commodities. Anyone up is West Texas oil, even Brent, after the, you know, the horrific things going on in the Middle East, like I said, it rallied, then dropped. And it's right. Look, it's trying to get above that sort of, $87 level. It can't quite do it. But I mean, that says something when you've got a real upset in the Middle East there, a war going on now. And yet it's not rallied. Maybe it's delayed a little bit. I don't know, but you'd expect that to rally a bit, wouldn't you?
I mean, who knows? I mean, the geopolitics are incredibly fragile. But also the sort of economic background is incredibly fragile too. You've got all these forces pulling against one another, as we've talked about before, demand destruction, but you've also got supply issues and now the geopolitical issues thrown into the mix, which have always sort of been lurking there anyway. It's horrendous.
Horrendous. There's another really odd bit of news rallying on relief, really, is this from Capital Metals.
Yeah, I like this one.
And this response to reports of a minister's expulsion. And they like this because Sri Lankan Muslim Congress expelled Minister Nasir Ahmed. And they say, Greg Martin says, this is a positive development resulting in the removal from office of the minister we believe
crazy.
Is primarily responsible for illegal interference with our licences. See, illegally interfering with the license there. Sri Lanka's in a bit of a... what are the British company listed AIM, exploration in Sri Lanka, so their economy's in havoc.
Tricky old place to do business. But, you know, I mean, again, just goes back to jurisdiction risk. These are the problems you face. One faces investing in companies that operates in sort of more difficult parts of the world.
Yeah, it's not listed, right? But I heard, I think it was Radio 5... Like Wicked for Money this morning, listen to that. There's a lady on there, and she's a commodities person, and she was saying that Cornish Lithium, they're expected to get 10% of the country's lithium requirements from that mine.
Yeah, quite possibly.
That's huge. And I said, well, you know, if you look at jurisdictions, you know, if you can actually invest in a company mining in your own country when you regard your country to be a safe jurisdiction, that's quite good, isn't it? I mean, it's not listed, I think, is it, Cornish Lithium? So
don't think so, no. Yeah. No, but what's the other, Cornish Metals? I'm not sure they
Yeah, Cornish Metals, lithium. Is it? That's not related to that.
No. Okay. But yeah, I mean, again, it's this whole sort of, you know, rush for critical metals and lots of worries, you know, within governments about critical metal supply. Metals One is one that we've looked at recently. They're developing prospects in, I'm not sure it's lithium, it might be, I can't remember, but in Scandinavia. So, you know, anything that's sort of close to home, safe jurisdictions, meeting the needs of a big market right on its doorstep.
Yeah. So let's look at Riff. I can never say a name. Riffs off. Do that. I just say that. Anyway, what's their unique selling point? USP. Just throw in some jargon. Yeah, USP of companies. I love tiny small companies. And I look for three S's essentially. I want to be small. I want to be able to scale. That means the market they go into is big, commercial, growing, and also they're quite efficient. So I want to be able to scale in that manner, you know, and also something special, of course, that they have that compared to their competitors.
Yeah, well, USP as well, I think. You know, I've heard in investing terms often referred to as an economic moat. So, you know, a USP doesn't necessarily have to mean a moat, rather. It doesn't have to mean, you know, something unique about a product, although that could be a moat, but it could be some kind of financial advantage as well. Some kind of, you know, just some kind of way the business is set up that makes it hard to compete with.
Yeah, someone said, John, if you'd invested in Ocado at the same time you invested in BT, you may have made some money. I don't think so. This is the Ocado price. Look at that there. That's typical, a double top.
That would have made about the same amount of money. In fact, I would have made a lot less, I think.
Yeah, a typical double top there. You know, a high there, lower high pretty much. And then it failed. Lower lows. And the moving averages smooth that out. But so where's BT then? So that's from...
Why does it remind me of that? It's awful. did quite well at the beginning. I should have bailed.
Well, let's have a look there. They're down 80% right, in the last...
I'm not down 80%.
1,000 days. Let's look at BT in the last 1,000 days. Let's see if you've got... right here. BT.
BT.A.
Okay. No, well, in fact, you haven't done it as badly, I don't think.
No, I haven't. I haven't done well, I can tell you.
That's only down 45%, John. You're not better.
Funnily enough, it's actually, I can tell you how much down it is at a high level. Yeah. And this is just a capital return. It's down since I bought it, 26.3%. Having a good day today, actually, up 3%. But actually, because it pays a reasonably chunky dividend,
yes,
probably only down about 10 to 15% in portfolio terms.
Yeah.
So I'll take that over Ricardo any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, you know what, John, this may be a bottom here. Well, it's early doors. You know, it's early doors. They've had a fake break rally here. Why was that rallying from? Oh, I think most of the companies sort of rallied in there over this period at first last year. But the fact they haven't sort of revisited these lows here, maybe this is a bottom forming, a bottom in the BT.
One can only hope so. I haven't sold because I'm waiting. It's critical infrastructure, and
it's
a very difficult market. It's been all sorts of shenanigans going on.
What are you waiting for?
It to go up. got a new chief exec. I wait. I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Atlantic Lithium. This is a good bit of news here. Again, it's all about government ministers and all that stuff today, seems like anything. But I don't know if I was down on that, but they're going to approvals to divert transmission lines at Eawar. And you were a warrior. But you were saying it's almost like a read across here that they are literally, you know, the government agreeing what they're doing. And they do say that. I mean, listen, the government's invested money in this company, so they wanted to go the way Atlantic Lithium wanted to go. You know,
I read it. You know, I read it that they have a supportive, mining environmental government authorities behind this project.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's what you need, of course, in jurisdictions. It's look at that bar. Pretty much, it's struggling. It's back into that range, pretty much, which is it needs to get above that. But it is above 50-day moving average. But if you notice there, they do say the big thing they're talking about is the mining license. That's finally. They had a meeting with, and that's what they said there. The company's pleased with the progress of the application and expects the mining license to be granted shortly.
Yeah, I was having a quick peek on Twitter. I feel there's a bit of frustration, which is why the share price is not, where you might expect it to be, just because they want this. Everyone's anticipating this news of the mining license.
Yeah. I mean, I would say there, it's tried to get above that. We're almost, a couple of times it's spiked up to what is that? 20. Say I guess about 27 pence. Yeah, there's a higher high there. You're going to go. It's going to go.
Today's news is just another one, another bit of news coming out the country, coming out the company and the country. The interests there seem to be aligned. If I were a betting man, I'd bet that mining license is almost signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. So one of the things of image scan here, or induction healthcare. What are they on about then? What INHC. I had them on the podcast years ago. I haven't really looked at them since then.
I talk about these sort of companies a lot. Companies that are supporting the NHS's digital transformation. It's been tried many, many times. Well, certainly was tried in a big bang style, over a decade ago, maybe 20 years ago. In fact, 20 years ago. What you now have is sort of lots of companies nibbling away, doing lots of good things, connecting it all up, taking advantage of sort of more modern technology. This is a platform that, it basically, it's sort of managing appointments, integrating with electronic healthcare records. So, it's really good. I mean, what I had noticed was, the top line has been growing very rapidly.
Yeah. I was looking at that. I mean, what I quite like here is the revenue is not far off one-time sales. Now, if you've got decent margins and you can sort of do a rough estimate, rule of thumb, that's quite good. But the gross margin is good, but they are still operating, loss. They're still making an operating loss here. So they need to sort of cut that down.
Definitely.
But I do like the fact that the top line is growing. And that's the thing; it has a drop through. You talk about gross margins.
Fundamentally. We've had the Conservative Party conference. We have the Labour Party conference in full swing. The NHS is always, as ever, very, very high up the agenda.
Yeah,
very surprisingly, very little discussion of sort of digitising it. which is, to me, seems to be, you know, where the savings are, where the efficiencies come from.
Yeah.
So, you know, Keir Starmer, if you're listening, have a think about that. And there's, you know, lots of brilliant little companies in the UK.
He won't be listening now. I think he's talking, isn't he?
Is he talking right at this moment? He's wasting his time.
Exactly. Keir, taking stock us on at 12 p.m.
Sign up, subscribe.
I know. So development costs. So they obviously developing something here. They've gone up massively. This is on their income statement. So you see, top line has gone up, but again, that's gone up. Development costs has gone up a lot. That's why they're making a loss from operation. In fact, that was an impairment there. So the one, but the development costs still gone up. And the little concern is that they got, you know, 4.2 million of cash, and. Like I said, where is it?
2.8 is in operating activities.
Yeah. Okay.
But another 827,000 used in investing activities.
Another chart there that you see as a complete downtrend. So that the market not believing this will get. But do you know, I do like companies who've been going down for ages. I remember talking to this company a while back. I did quite like them, but I did think at the time, you're burning a bit of cash there. But that's all you need to do is cut down. If they've developed that product, that's the thing, that's what software is, whatever it is. If they've developed it, then that development cost will come down massively, you know, just drop off. That's what you're hoping for. And if revenue continues to grow, then those margins will drop through.
Precisely. But,
yeah.
Problem solving company.
Yeah.
You know, it potentially, when it hits critical mass, when it hits scale, has the operational gearing, the operational leverage will start to show through. And the NHS is very hard to work with. You know, so once you're in, you're in. And you know, if you're a new company trying to get into the NHS, it's very, very hard. So lots of barriers to entry. So, you know, you're right. Folks, look at the cash and has it got enough to get where it needs to be? But in terms of where it could go, you know, massive potential these NHS companies, because there is such a big problem to solve.
Yeah. Matthew says, Robert Walters, recession obviously there. We'll look at that in a minute. Super Mono says, so Metro Bank, now majority owned by a Colombian billionaire. No red flags there, then. You wonder, how do you make your money? What's the biggest industry in Colombia, apart from cocoa plants?
I think Colombia has changed since those days.
About commodities, Capital Limited in mining services looks cheap. ICV covered them in January. Yeah, I did look at them.
Capital Limited,
I think. Did we just look at those? No.
It's the Capital Metals.
I did look at Capital. Haven't they got a bit of... debt, I think. CAPD, yeah, again, it's charts not looking too pretty, but again, it's a bit of support there. Let me just look at the chart here. Sorry, I thought I was sharing the screen. Yeah, it's rolled over and coming down. And I did look at those, it's all in dollars, I know, but 153 million. So, look, new contracts, H1 results. Oh, I can't. We'll look at that the other day.
Let's have a look. I don't know who, maybe it was Simon Thompson that covered it in the IC. He generally, you know, he's a deep value investor. So
revenue there, EBITDA, 19 million. EBITDA, net profit, 42 million.
Yeah.
This is for the full year, is it? Yeah, full year.
Has the look of a Simon Thompson.
Yeah.
Ben Graham type stock. A bargain share. I'll have a look at that.
I'm sure I covered these on a thing. Let me just scroll down quickly. Loans and borrowings, 56 million there on the thing, but liabilities, total liabilities 147 million. What's total assets there? Total, oh, no, it's not too bad. Total assets 187, and 69 with the current liabilities. No, it's fine. Yeah, they're fine. They're not, doesn't be any problem. No, it is cheap, but I mean, where are they based? Is it like, It depends exactly where they're based. They got a contract in Nevada. They're all over the place, are they? I suppose. Anyway, I don't know. It depends where they're based.
Pits and Shovels. Pits and Shovels, remember?
Yeah.
Wherever it likes. It's in demand, especially.
The group's corporate headquarters are in the United Kingdom, and it's established operations in Cote d'Ivoire, Canada, Democratic Republic, Congo, Egypt, Gabon. See, when you're in areas like that, you tend to get a decent rating, don't you? You know, it's going to be, the evaluation tends to be paid down a bit due to the jurisdiction risk a little bit.
I just want to bring this balance sheet. I mean, I make the net borrowings 60 odd million. It's not shockingly bad. Yeah, I mean, it looks interesting.
Saying that though, I mean, you know what? That is, again, a China play. You know, if China starts stimulating, and expect that to rally again. I mean, it's you know, last since 2019, it's decent uptrend there. It's quite volatile, but if China starts to stimulate, then commodities start to rally. Then, of course, more people want to do some mining, and their services will be required more. So,
Robert Walters, I've just noticed Robert Walters. If you look at the RNS list, they're quite keen to tell us that it's been a resilient performance, all in capital letters. They're just shouting about it.
Yeah, I hate that when the companies do that, shouting stuff. They just say, oh, is the person writing the RNS, does he understand the caps lock is on? Oh, I scout that, I can't say. Where's it going? Robert Walters. I always find it odd why it's called Robert
Resilient
Walters.
Performance.
Yeah, look at that. Resilient performance. Are you listening? Are you? Because the market isn't listening. Right, we're going to shout it.
The market did seem to think so, because the shares were up 6%.
Okay.
So I guess it's a bit more resilient than they're expecting, although, you know, it's sort of a headline level. There's a lot of red ink there.
Well, it's all in brackets.
It's all going backwards.
If it's down international, down 20%. Is that resilient? Is it? It seems to me that they've overstated that a little bit.
I guess the expectation was that it would be worse.
Yeah.
But I would avoid recruiters at the moment.
Yeah. Group strategic core remains strong. We are focused on consultant productivity, cost discipline, and long-term investments in our people and global interest. Yeah. Okay. There we are. The group is well positioned to swiftly capture opportunities when there is an upturn in the market confidence, and our expectations for the full year remain unchanged. Okay, yep.
I guess the expectation was that it was going to get worse, but it didn't.
I'm not joking. So many opportunities in this market. Look at every chart we look at. There's been hardly any charts in an uptrend. This isn't a downtrend. But to me, this smacks of, you know, when this turns again, there is opportunity amongst, you know, employers or recruitment consultants, all that stuff, jobs market. Who's the biggest one? Is it Page or...
I don't know which one's the biggest in the UK.
Page Group is quite. I think that they're. Like I said, they've come off a cliff. And they bottoming out. These are now. This is why I'm quite. Optimistic about a good year. Okay, Zoop Foams. That's the capital. You missed the market call. Results wrong. Up 1.43%. What's that? Which one's this? Or you? The market called the results wrong. Up 143 plus 21%. Shares have been on the slide, but results come in a consensus in difficult markets. So showing resilience. Yeah. Crew looking fairly safe, especially if there's a Chinese stimulus. So they are heavily invested in Asia.
Who? Okay. Sorry?
Pru.
All right. Yeah.
Pru Leaf.
Prudential. Yeah. Yeah. They got a bit of a boost the other day when there was that Aviva takeover speculation as well. But yeah.
Okay. Prudential. Let's have a look at Prudential. It's just green. Look at that. Pretty much, lows pretty much there. So many opportunities in the market, done so many. What else is on the front page of Vox? Sorry, we're a bit late in this. In Silica, they're chips, aren't they?
Yeah,
chips.
Nice company, this. It's made the results after IPO. I'm slightly ahead of expectations. It basically makes customer-specific semiconductors.
Yeah.
For industrial applications, and it's really focused on four areas. I think it's automotive, industrial, healthcare, and satellite communications. It's, you know, really, really paying off. You know, it's some serious top-line growth there. EPS well ahead of expectations. Some really nice big wins and a nice... order book at record levels. So,
go on. A while back, I was looking at these chip designers, and I was looking at a couple of Paul Hill took one, Sondrel. I looked at these because in a similar sort of market cap and time they were, but I also held a couple of shares in Alpha Wave, which is a lot bigger, faster growing. I got out of that luckily because I looked at the chart, it broke resistance. Yeah, I'll show you where. But then I thought this out of this and Sondrel, I preferred this one, but they are very lumpy contracts for small chip designers. They're quite lumpy.
Well,
and the margins aren't that huge.
So it does consultancy services, which obviously come at a lower margin because they're people centric, but the more you know, of its own IP that it develops, the more it can sell, you know, again, that's that operational gearing effect comes through. You develop a chip platform and that can be sold to multiple customers rather than chips developed for, you know, single customers. So you know, there's a lot of money being invested in IP there. So that sort of helps it with going up the value chain, producing these higher margin bits of intellectual property. There's a very big contract delivered over multiple years as well. You know, it sort of smooths out the profile a little bit. And, you know, chips are becoming increasingly sort of, again, you know, matters of national security.
Yeah.
Securing your chip suppliers for industry. And Insilica has been working with the UK government on that. So...
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You know, Britain is someone said to me the other day, there would be no iPhone without, you know, British chip companies. You know, you had all sorts of incredible British intellectual property in there. You know, Imagination Technologies, Arm, you know, all sorts. And, you know, Insilica is following in their footsteps. I mean, it's not an industry that's been, you know, not been without its difficulties, but you know, it's got a lot of learnings from the past of the industry, and it's, you know, motoring along here.
Yeah, they announced a tape out there from a production revenues estimated worth 13 million over 7 years. On that day's thing. Anything else covered? Crimson Tide.
Crimson, yeah.
Educational deals and increases government contracts.
Yeah, those education deals. It seems to be developing quite a nice niche in contract catering for education establishments.
What is the consolidation of...
They did. Which I think was a very sensible move. But yeah, really sort of going to use this sort of enterprise. It's an app that helps interface with enterprise resource planning to, you know, manage buildings. It's sort of connecting to the Internet of Things is a big strategic push of theirs. And in this case, it's in, sort of delivering school meals. And it's won quite a few contracts there. I think it's like 10% of the UK schools. I think it's 10% of the UK schools now that it's in.
Are they?
I think.
Oh, okay.
It's quite... Hang on a minute. I'll have to check that. Let me just check that.
What's this, John? On this thing?
That is a map of...
exciting there.
It's a very exciting map.
Geospatial management software and solutions at OneSpatial. What does that mean?
Well, you know, there are all these sort of assets that exist in the ground and in buildings around various countries. And in this case, this is a water... system map. There is an expert in geospatial data, and they work with governments and they work with utilities, mapping agencies like the Ordnance Survey. And what they do is basically keep that data fresh and clean and easy to access. So that, you know, when a water utility wants to dig up a road, they've got access to the most up-to-date data and the most accurate data. That means that they can minimise disruption. And, you know, as we all know, nobody likes to be stuck in a traffic jam when roadworks are taking place.
No. It's like a crocodile there, look. Yep.
Oh, yeah. How lovely. Bye. nice company.
Yeah, there's a tiny little one here. I'm sure it's fallen off a cliff recently because I'm sure it wasn't this small before, which Image Scan Holders, one of the biggest risers today, it's a micro cap, in a nano cap, sorry. Trading update. They expect to report strong sales and profit growth for the year. So, a 3 million market cap, profit growth. Revenue expected to be 3 million, an increase of 50%, and pre tax profit of over 100 grand. The board is very pleased and encouraged. So, and I'm sure the restructuring costs, the company closed the year with close to a million. In fact, their cash has gone up close to a million. They raise any because, no, they haven't raised any money. So they're actually making money, which is unusual for a company that small. IGE, but again, you know, what scale do they have? You know, Image Scan Holdings. Yeah, it's a bit messy, that chart. They've come down from a wow. You can see lack of liquidity because it's quite bitty. But nevertheless, it's...
I don't know much about the company, I'm afraid. No. I do know that you have some very large players in this market. So my question here would be, what do they do that someone like Smiths... doesn't do. Big industrial engineering group, has big detection business. What do they do that Smiths doesn't do? What means that they have You know, what problem are they solving that Smith's is not, or other big competitors are not, and what therefore is you know, its differentiating point against against those bigger players? I don't know the answer to that.
Good point. Yes. By the way, someone did say about growth. We're talking about what I like to hear from the XP factor from your recent interviews. Now they have grown a lot recently. They are focusing on turning that, making the business running well. Yeah, I mean, it's a year for XP factories, a year of opening, you know, boom battle bars of 27 a year, something ridiculous. But now that's in, sunk cost. They did that without having to raise that any money there, apart from the acquisition they raised money for. But now they are going to start generating cash now. And I do think, you know, it's one of those companies being lumped in with the wider leisure sector when it's not. It's a new leisure, you know, area, whereas competitive gaming and all that stuff, it's a bit different from what's out there, but it is lumped in with that sort of area.
I think that last point is a very good one, you know, because companies that sort of, yeah, I mean, companies should always be looking to growth, but but at the same time, you know, growth without profit is utterly pointless. And you know, I mean, it should always be an ongoing process. You know, you're always looking for growth, always seeking to improve the business's efficiency operationally. So I'm not sure one follows the other.
No, but thing is, and you know what? The thing is, they will have growth yet, but I mean, they won't have the, obviously, they still have like-for-like growth. But I mean, of course, they went from like 7 million to like 20 to 21 million because of they got a bigger estate. But most of those sites weren't even open towards the back end of their financial year. So that will come into the play now this year. And of course, you had train strikes and all that going on. But no, they still have growth. But this time, it'll drop through the bottom line better. In fact, I think Buffett says no such thing as a growth or a value company. A company should have a bit of both, you know, should have growth and value.
So, I agree. I think, you know, if you, we talked about this the other day, if you kind of pigeonhole yourself as one type of investor or another, you're missing out on all sorts of stuff. And also companies sort of swing between the two.
A couple of business updates. Like you mentioned earlier, you said UK grocery inflation eases to its lowest level in 2022. That sounds good. Then you look at it, market research Kantar said annual grocery inflation was 11%. In the 4 weeks to the 1st of October, down from 12.2. Still quite high, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's still 11%, but at least it's coming down. It, you know, like I said, at least it's going in the right direction. UK consumers hunker down as fuel prices climb. But to say that, apparently it grew, the British Retail Consortium said, total sales at chain stores grew by 2.7% compared to September, which is 4.1%. But separate data from Barclays showed the pace of annual growth in the amount of money spent on credit card and debit cards increased by 4.2%, and this was basically down to the rise in motor fuel.
Yeah, petrol. Filling up their cars on the Never Never.
And finally, look at this, China exposed European stocks rise after a report of new stimulus. It's a report by Bloomberg. And Stephanie Ecolo, she said, it's absolutely driving the price. And they said, when China sneezes, the world catches a cold. I thought, yeah, but don't we know
it? I thought it was America.
No, but there's COVID. Exactly.
How unfortunate.
You don't want to catch COVID again, is what you're saying.
An unfortunate turn of phrase.
They pretended they didn't know anything about it. What, really? It's come from one of our cities. Really? Yes, obviously. And a couple of people suffered with it. Really? Yeah, okay. Marvelous stuff. Don't forget, hit that like if you like this content and share it and download the free. Did I tell you it's free? Free Vox Markets app. It's ridiculous how it's free, actually. It is ridiculous how it's free. Because I'd really miss it. I'd pay for it, basically. I'm sure I'd get it for free if I'm working, you know, with Vox. It's cracking.
I must admit, I tend towards the filters. I like the site RNS. Yeah, well, I do most of my work at desk, so.
Here we are. There's all the filters there.
I love the filters.
Yeah. So check that out. Download the app. Give it a try and let us know if you've not used it before. But hit that subscribe button if you could. Cheers. Thanks very much. Speak tomorrow. Cheers on. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.